Hello from sunny Austin, Texas, and welcome to the Healthcare Soothsayer Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Bonnie Clipper, and yes, I'm a nurse. I have worked for more than 30 years as a nurse, chief nurse executive, innovation strategist, and speaker. I have taken the message of nursing innovation international and look forward to continuing this message to transform health. This podcast will bring you thought leaders and ideas that you may not have otherwise heard from. Enjoy the show.
Hi, our guest today is Christina Oldini, California Maternal Quality Care Collaborative at the School of Medicine, Department of Pediatrics at Stanford University. Christina, welcome to the Healthcare Soothsayers Podcast.
Oh, Bonnie, thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here and needless to say, happy to be working with you.
Awesome. Always great talking with you, Christina. And now you're a nurse, yet you work at Stanford University Medical School. Can we just even talk about that for a minute? How'd you get there and what's going on? It seems like a great idea.
Well, it's funny. I have to let you in on something. I don't even remember, but I bet it's something like 10 years ago. And this is even before I got my MBA, went into the master's program. And that was I had an interest. I said, gee, one day I would actually love to teach a course at Stanford School of Medicine. And that was always in the back of my mind. Why? Who knows? Where did that come from? I have no clue. But in my last years of my career, mostly, planning operations at a local hospital here in San Francisco, I decided that I wanted to get my master's. And I had to think about where my master's was going to be. I had several choices, and I grew to love management and leadership so much that I wanted to basically get out of the mind of healthcare, get into business, basic MBA, no specialty, no attachment to healthcare, and then come back to healthcare with that knowledge. And so I got my MBA, and there was a period there where I was kind of looking for something new. And I'm very fortunate. Dr. Elliot Main is a national leader in quality improvement in the field for maternal health. And Elliot and I hooked up again. And I was very excited, needless to say, to come down to Stanford and still be able to keep my passion, obviously, which is women's health, birthing people, the health of birthing people, and babies, newborns. So I'm thrilled to be down at Stanford. Incredible group. I'm a little bit overwhelmed because I work with a whole bunch of smart people, Bonnie. And I mean, I'm talking really smart when you add up everybody who I'm in contact with every day at Stanford, and then all the partners we have throughout the state and nationally. There are, gosh darn it, a lot of smart people out there.
Well, I have no doubt that you hold your own in that space, Christina.
Well, that's very kind of you, Bonnie.
And that's a really cool story. I love that as well. And it seems like a great opportunity for sort of this cross-pollination between nursing schools and medical schools, really, with different disciplines being involved to break down the silos.
Oh, I love that. I love where you're going with that. And I agree totally, because you've hit on such a key word for healthcare, and that's silos. We've really, boy, have we built up a few. I got my bachelor's, my BSN in nursing from my fabulous alma mater, University of San Francisco, over 30 years ago. And in that period, we have created such silos that we've got our work set up for us ahead. And I have to tell you, before when you and I were chatting, I didn't say, but I wanted to make sure I pointed this out. I actually find this an incredibly exciting time in healthcare. And I have to say something obviously first. This last year has been an overwhelming period for so many. And I, to be honest with you, I don't know who it wouldn't be overwhelming for in this world at this moment. So I really want to give a shout out, Bonnie, to everyone at the bedside. We're talking nurses, doctors, RTs, discharge planners, environmental services, quality, safety, everybody who's at the bedside. And then also first responders. We really need to shout these groups out. But again, I don't want to let that silos thing go, because that's where I think we have our work ahead. And it's incredibly exciting work, I think, to break down these silos. And to benefit who? Who do we remember? The patient, the client, bottom line.
It's funny that you say that, because so often we all hang on to these silos and have our little control moments and sort of forget that we all signed up for this to actually care for someone on the other end that's called a patient.
You know, just another quickie, because, you know, I love stories. And really, as you go along in your career, you realize the power of a story. And I'll never forget, I was at it wasn't a grand rounds. It was actually what they called, a meeting with the CEO or whatever, Dr. Martin Brotman. He was the former CEO at California Pacific Medical Center, the old Children's Hospital in San Francisco. And there was a story that he said, I'll never forget this. He said, you cannot have a bad hair day in healthcare. Do you know I've remembered that to this day? And boy, was he spot on. He was spot on. And that doesn't mean you can't be human. We know that what we experience in life and what we bring to the bedside, trauma, happiness, whatever we've experienced in our life, we actually bring that to the bedside. I know that. But his point was, who do we have to think about when we go into your setting every single day? And that's the person, the family, the significant others that you're caring for that day.
Yeah. And, you know, that's such a poignant reminder. And, you know, let me say, I've been looking forward to this conversation with you for a while, because I know you're in the quality space. And I really want to just poke around in that a little bit to see what you think is coming down the road. It feels like for the last year, we've literally been in nonstop PDCA cycle after nonstop PDCA cycle. We've seen more changes and more innovation, more tech adoption in healthcare in the last 12 months than we honestly have seen in the last probably 5, 6, 7 years. So how can we use this moment now and learn from it? And what's it going to help us do in the future? Where do you see this going?
Boy, you know, you are so spot on. The numbers of telehealth visits are off the charts. And what I'm hoping, this is my how do I say, my dream, my hope for the immediate future of healthcare, is that we're courageous. We are going to think out of the box. We're going to look to the data that hopefully we will derive during this period. And if something, stays, you know, financially in the green, the black, if quality is equal or improved, we need to be courageous to keep that practice in place. We need to say, you know what? We need to keep this. We need to keep doing this. I'm going to give you a quick example, and that is the DEA and SAMHSA went ahead, and, you know, I just got off the Mother and Baby Substance Exposure Initiative project in the fall. I was the clinical lead out of CMQCC and CPQCC, along with Dr. J. Dean Wong. And during that collaborative, it was you know, very interesting. And at the end of it, because, you know, when we ended it, we were already in the thick of COVID. But in those last couple months, the DEA and SAMHSA said that prescribers, in other words, providers, could actually start folks on buprenorphine without seeing someone in person. That's huge. That is huge. So yes, I know, you know, we have to look at all the downstream effects. We have to take into consideration the upstream effects. But boy, if we look at the data down the road, just this one example that says, boy, you know, maybe the rates of OUD will go down. Maybe the rates of complications, withdrawals, you know, overdoses will go down, and we can relate it to something kind of, when you think about it, as small as this. And I know I'm not saying it's small, it's major. However, one thing, if we can say, boy, you know, this is something we need to stick with down the road, wouldn't that be something? So you're right. We are one big Petri dish right now, basically healthcare, because we've done so many new things in these last few months. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it is. And I just hope everybody's hanging on to the things that we've learned and that we can change, and probably moving into, you know, figuring out how to scale those solutions as well.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, the other thing that I, you know, boy, I'm so lucky to be, you know, I work with really incredible people, Bonnie, both at CMQCC and CPQCC. And these folks are so smart, so intuitive, so open to improvement, so open to change. And they're so focused on the folks that they're, you know, that they're really in a way caring for. Yeah, we all have desk jobs. However, we're caring for folks. I view it that way with the work we're doing for quality improvement. You know, I have to say, you know, I've known Elliot Main now for over 30 years. And I have to say that, you know, a lot of the really wonderful work at improving outcomes for moms and babies, a lot of it on the mom side has to do with, you know, the work he's done down at CMQCC. So I'm very excited for quality improvement moving forward. You know, you just reminded me, and I have not done a lot of work in design thinking. It's something that I need to get a little bit more into, and I'm very excited actually to do that. But I'm very excited about this whole concept. Again, a new concept to me is the concept of de-innovation. And this came to me recently. And obviously the focus on value over healthcare, which is obviously going to stay and it needs to stay. But the idea of de-innovating, in other words, let's get rid of the stuff that's really not working. And in this group at CMQCC, they're so focused on changing culture and improving culture, not only in labor and delivery units, but gosh, let's spread it out, you know, in clinics and OB practices and in public health. I mean, let's just throw in public health there. We've got to get rid of things that just don't work anymore. We need that courage to do that.
Yeah, well, it's funny that you said that because, as you know, you can dig into innovation and transformation and disruption. But essentially, at the end of the day, it's about culture change and change management. Because if we can't put the building blocks in place that will allow for the adoption and the hardwiring or the sticking of the change, no matter if it's a device or a model, we really haven't done anything. So I think you're exactly right. There's a ton of culture work that has to happen as a result of this.
Well, boy, you've really, you know, boy, I mean, we could keep going on about this, but what I want to say about this is when you mentioned change management, you know, one of the, boy, the worst experience as a bedside nurse, and I was a bedside nurse for 19 years, actually over 20 years. And one of the worst things would be when you'd be out at the desk, right in the unit. And I know all nurses, I think most of them can remember this experience, but a leader walking by and saying, we're going to be doing that now, either it's on a piece of paper or they're just saying it verbally, we're going to start doing this now, and then walking away. No one knows the why. No one knows what brought this about. No one knows who made this decision. That's all change management. And so what I'd really love to get into with you, if that's okay, is a little bit about education and where we need to go, especially with nurses and what they bring to the forefront of healthcare really in the future.
You know, I think that would be a really nice place to pivot. And of course, you're at one of the top academic facilities in the country, right? So let's talk about your perspective on that and what you see coming. And part of what we want to think about too is you're in the catbird seat. So you actually have the beauty of vantage point here. So when we talk about this, I want to make sure that those of us that are listening get to think about, what does that mean to us in our practice? And what pieces of that can we deconstruct or disassemble and bring back to our facilities, our organizations?
Yeah. You know, I'm so fortunate. You're right. I mean, I remember years ago, we lost the residents, OB residents, and I didn't know what effect that would have on me. But years later, I realized that I love being in a teaching environment. I love being in that because it's always about the future. You're like constantly thinking about the future, and I love that aspect. So when we talk about education, and again, I'm a nurse. You know, I've said that before. Bottom line, I'm a nurse, and I want to think about nurses for a moment here. Nurses have so much to bring to the future, and I'm hopeful for those nurses that are considering, you know, moving ahead and perhaps considering a master's, perhaps even considering their doctorate. You know, one day I'd love to get my DMP. folks that get their DMPs are incredible. Again, masters in nursing, we need more of them. And it's so fulfilling to see so many nurses get their MSN. I want nurses to also think about a couple other degrees, Bonnie. Can I go through those real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. I want to talk about those because I'm real curious. And I would also say it's interesting that you're so hot on the MSN because that's one that I struggle with.
Well, because we're always going to need folks who are higher level clinical, have a higher level clinical competency. And whether that's a clinical nurse leader, whatever that looks like, NP, I mean, I could get into that whole thing about, I'm so proud of California, finally, with midwives and with MPs increasing the scope of practice. I mean, that was a long time coming. California's finally matching other states in the union on this front. But I'd love RNs, Bonnie, to think about MPHs. I work with several masters in public health. A couple of them are RNs. And I tell you, these folks are brilliant. And go ahead.
Well, it's interesting because I was having a conversation with someone that's pretty high up in the Texas Health Department. And we were talking about nurse epidemiologists. And so many people do not know that nurses can also be and are also epidemiologists. They think it's a physician-only thing.
Rock on, Bonnie. I'm loving that, right? And I mean, there are so many, and you don't even need to be a science geek. But if you just have an interest in what's going on, like what's going on in front of us here, the power of public health, population health, is incredible. It's unending. And this is, maybe we could get a whole nother thing about silos, right? And healthcare and public health and how we've created a silo between the two. But, we're beginning to break that down. There are hospital systems in the country that are really realizing and doing incredible work in their communities because they know if their community around them's healthier, folks aren't going to even come into the hospitals. I mean, people will be healthier overall. So nurses, consider MPHs. I'd love nurses to go ahead and consider organizational development. Organizational development degrees are so powerful when it comes to change management, leadership, executive roles. They're key. And then the last one, actually two more, informatics. You talked about tech earlier. I mean, who is better... Who would be better at informatics than the nurse who's dealing with it every single day, almost all day, right? So those tech areas. And then the last one, just like me, who has, I have an interest in business. I wanted to connect the dots and I wanted to know what a VC was. And I wanted to know what behavioral economics was. And that's why I personally, and I just love management and leadership. So that's why I went into the MBA. But nurses, think about everything that's out there. You have a solid degree in that bachelor's. Go for it. Think about what the world, healthcare needs it. We absolutely need nurses in these other areas, on top of, right? Government on top of all kinds of other things.
I love your perspective on that. And I think it's incredibly broad and open-minded, which is such a good place for us to look at this. It's really one of the questions that nurses reach out to me on LinkedIn with the most often is really, hey, I'm thinking about getting into something else, either technology or informatics or something, right? And, I'm not finding any jobs. I'm not finding positions. I'm not finding things posted. And one of the things that I often find is that it feels like nurses are really myopic and look for something that has the word nurse in the job description or the posting. It doesn't have to be that way, right? Our underlying skill set is that we're nurses and we're trained in such a unique way. We know the soft sciences, we know the hard sciences. I mean, essentially, we're a STEM major. And also, we know workflows, we know relationships, dynamics, we know innovation, we know so many other things. So I often tell people, don't be limited by the fact that a job description or a posting doesn't say that you have to be a nurse. That's just a plus that you bring to that.
Okay, well, now you're reading my mind, and which is kind of scary. So what I've been thinking in the last couple of years is, and I love my alma mater, USF, Dean Baker, shout out to you. I actually think, Bonnie, that a nursing degree is a solid general degree. And it's just what you said. You are so spot on. I totally agree with you 100%. And, obviously there's the caring factor, there's the touch factor, there's the, you know, the real true physical assistance and emotional assistance. However, it's a great degree. And I love your idea of nurses looking elsewhere. I love it. And that's how we spread the wealth, right? And the really the wonderfulness of nursing everywhere.
I think we're on to something here, Christina. So we just need to figure out how to amplify this. Yeah. But essentially, nursing is a set of characteristics. It's a mindset. It's a superpower. It isn't the end point. So, I think that really gives people a springboard to do whatever they want and specialize in a way that's very unique to them, whether it's communications, media, policy, be a congressperson, be a broadcaster on a public channel, whether it's a radio or television, and you just happen to be a nurse, right? There's no one that is a better problem solver. There's no one that understands critical thinking any better. And trying to deconstruct and reconstruct very quickly workflows to make things work just to care for a patient or someone, right? Yeah. So, yeah, I am pretty passionate about that. But, I think you too struck a nerve there. And it's a tremendous opportunity that we have in nursing to leverage that.
Yeah. Bonnie, can we just sit and talk for a couple more hours?
Absolutely. Absolutely. At some point, we're going to have to sit down and bring some adult beverages in too.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I so appreciate this conversation with you. And thank you so much for being with us today on the Healthcare Soothsayers podcast. I really do appreciate your time, Christina.
Oh, Bonnie, it's a pleasure. And it's a pleasure because I love being a nurse. I love thinking about the future. And that's who you are. So obviously this was a great joy. And again, a shout out to everyone out there. Hang in there, folks. Hang in there.
And that's a great place to wrap things up for today. So be sure to check out our show notes for this show and to find Christina's contact info and to learn more about her work. Thanks so much for listening to Healthcare Soothsayers. I really do appreciate it. If you liked what you heard, please rate, review, and share it with your network. That is how we grow and learn. If you have ideas for show topics or guests, please reach out to me directly at ThoughtLeaderRN on Twitter. For information about this show or any of the others in the Touchpoint Media Network, please check them out at touchpoint.health.